All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Blessing to be here with you all again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and again we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, Lord, and the offering of his life, Father, to redeem us, Father, and the blood that was shed to cleanse us from our sin. We just thank you, Lord, for this marvelous opportunity you've given all of us, Father. We ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit, Lord, that you'd give us wisdom, Father, and help us be faithful to you. Again, we just want to thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, I want to open our Bibles this morning to I'm just going to start in James chapter 1. We've read this not too long ago, but I want to just read it again here in verse 1. It says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that so you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We talked about those things, about how that endurance and trials bring us to where God wants us to be. It strengthens us. You know, I think that's one of the problems in the world today. When you look at some of the things that are going on, a lot of the people that are causing the strife in the world are a lot of times very wealthy children that have never had a day of problems in their lives. They go to school. They've just, everything's handed to them. They have everything they need. And then they're not happy. They're miserable. And they go off to college, and some professor starts telling them about a cause to fight for, and it gives them a purpose of living. And so they start fighting for these causes they know nothing about, because they've never felt any struggles of their own. But they see someone with struggles, and they're guilty. They feel bad, and so they start fighting for these causes. And a lot of the things that are going on in the world today are people who have never known a struggle in the world fighting for someone that they think they're helping. Without struggles in life, without hard things going on, we never grow our souls. They're stagnant. And, you know, the comfort and the ease that we pass on sometimes to our children, thinking we're doing good for them, is detrimental to them. It takes some conflict. And we want to read this next verse, verse 5. You know, we just read this verse and we quote it sometime. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Look where it's put. Right after this conflict and right after these struggles that bring joy. In other words, you know, we've heard the adage, you know, don't pray for patience. Things will start going wrong. You know, and so we're scared to death to ask for patience. But that's the very thing we need to be pursuing. And that's where I think this... He's talking about enduring and coming in all joy of going through all these things. And then he says, if any of you lack wisdom, if any of you all want to avoid all of that stuff, you're lacking wisdom, I think is another way we could put it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. In other words, we might be setting ourselves up for a little struggle, a little hardship, so that we can grow our minds and grow our souls to be a little wiser. You know, I've said it before, you know, it takes a wise man to be able to learn from his mistakes. But a wiser man can learn whenever someone just tells him you're headed for a mistake. And learn then, instead of just having to touch the stove to make sure if it's hot and then wind up getting a burn. You know, that's wisdom. You touch it, it's hot, you get burned, you learned. But if someone says, don't touch that, and you learn, that's the wiser person. You know, we might not notice that, but that's the wise one. That we can learn. And I think one of the things that whenever we talk about wisdom, we think, well, oh, I just want wisdom so I can make all my own decisions. So I can just figure things out for myself. You know, whenever we, that's where a lot of us wind up. If we get to thinking, trusting in our own advice or our own counsel, whenever we get to that place, we're not wise. We're not wise at all. And I think that's one of the things that teenagers, young boys, young families, young people, it's one of the things they don't see. They begin to do a few things right, and they begin to trust in their own advice and own counsel, and they don't really need to listen to anybody. And I think that's one of the things we get scared of sometimes, even when we get older, after we've been hurt a few times. We don't want to listen to anybody. We don't want to trust anybody. But you know, building ourselves an island and living on an all little island all by ourselves may appear like we're protecting ourselves and we're not going to be deceived and we're not going to be tricked. But we've just built a little wall and a little bubble of deception right over us. We've talked over and over about, I've just met them all the time. And I use Kentucky because that's where we've met a lot of them. Just somebody that just couldn't get along with anybody, and they wind up thinking they're a Noah living on some hill in Kentucky all by themselves. That's not what God uses us for. That's not what He needs for us. He wants us to be able to live with other people. You know, if I can't go anywhere else without being deceived, I don't have a very good strength. You know, if I'm, we've watched people just so scared about being deceived. I'm not going to be deceived. Nobody's going to deceive me. And they wind up building this shell around them of self-deception. But they're not going to listen to anybody. That's not where wisdom comes from. Wisdom's being able to walk right out into the middle of all things going on around you and being able to discern what's right and wrong right in the middle of everything that's going on around you. Being able to discern when someone comes at you with something wrong, well, there's just something not right about that. Instead of just building this self-wall of protection. You know, we look at these churches and it's like faith and being faithfulness. And I've told people over and over and over, You know, we worry about our children, whether they're going to carry on the faith or not. And so we begin to build these things to help them, support them, so that they can go on. We don't want to let them do this, you know, whatever they... Or we want to watch this, and we want to protect them here and protect them there. And as when they're children, that's fine. But as they begin to grow and become adults and make their own decisions, they're going to have to fall on their face a few times to ever be able to stand. They're going to have to fall down a few times to ever learn how to walk. They're going to have to have some struggle to be able to run the race. We can't just keep building these things for us. And we've seen churches, you know, that we're going to make sure our church lasts for a long time. So they build these rules, these walls around them. And so everybody's going to live by this rule or that rule or that rule. And two generations later, they're still keeping those rules. Well, our church has lasted this long. Look at us. But you know, whenever you take a scarecrow and you put sticks in his arms, you build a stick scarecrow and you stick his arms out here and you stuff him full of straw, he'll stand in that field for a long time. But he's just as dead as he was whenever you stood him up. Faith, the way you go through the future, the way you go into the future with faith, is to have it today. To live it today. Carry it out today. You can't plan faith into the future. Wisdom that comes from God. You know, I remember whenever people have thought that, he just knows it all, or he won't listen to anybody. And I've just looked back at my life and I remember, whenever I started reading this Bible, it almost 40, what is it, 86 or 87, 85 or 86, almost 40 years ago, I picked this book up and I want to find it. And I'd been to church all my life. I'd quit going to church because there's nothing here. There's just nothing there that's real. And so I quit it. I went out and just was going after this world and had it. But I knew there was something more. I knew there was something more. I knew there was still a God. And so I picked this book up and I began to read it. And I would read it. And then I would say, well, the Bible says this. And there's no, it doesn't really mean that. It means this over here. Or it means that. I remember at that time in my life, I had a lot of houses and rental properties, had cattle, had new trucks, had everything when I was 25, 6 years old. But I knew I was lost. And I picked this book up and I went to church. And boy, just like the rich young ruler, I came running up and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they all patted me on the back and said, "Just ask Jesus into your heart." So I tried that. And it was the same old thing I'd done all my life. Pretend that I'm saved and I'll be okay. And Jesus is just going to wash everything away. And I can live however I want. When God looks down at me, all he sees is this shield of Jesus in front of me. But that was just one of those little domes of defense, self-deception. I still knew what I was. That I still wanted my life. And I read this book and I began to read, sell what you have and follow me. And what does that mean? This rich young ruler came running to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? Today that rich young ruler would be sitting in a church writing books, be a rock star in the Christianity. Because here this bad man turned to Jesus. That's not what Jesus told him. He said, sell everything you have and follow me. He told him to keep the commandments first. Obey me. He said, well, I've done all of those things. How many people, you know, in church, religious search, well, I've done all that. I've done all of that. But then Jesus prods a little further, you know, and doesn't mean everybody has to sell everything to get right, but God looks for that one thing that you're not willing to give up. That one little thing that you're going to hang on to. And it's probably the most precious thing in your life. Because it'll cost your life. And that's what it was with me. And it wasn't even having anything. It was just being this person. I was wanting to be wealthy by the time I was 40 years old. I mean, I just wanted it, power, whatever. I don't know what it was even. That was just what I could do and was going to do. But when I read this book, Jesus said, sell what you have and follow me. Okay, how do I get saved? Jesus said, sell what you have and follow me. Okay, how do you get saved? Everybody told me, leave the Romans Road. Believe that Jesus died for you. It's confusing. I read books. I called missionaries. I talked to evangelists. I talked to the people all over the world. Talked to Leonard Ravenhill. Talked to people that have written books. Why? What's the difference here? Why do I read and see what Jesus said for me to be saved? Is I've got to lose my life, and everybody else is just telling me, well, believe Romans Road. Believe you're a sinner, don't you? Yeah, I've sinned. You believe Jesus died, don't you? Oh, yeah, I believe that. Well, then you're saved. Confess it, ask Him, and He'll save you. But that's not what He wanted. He wants the only thing that I won't give up. Because that one little thing, no matter big, small, whatever it may be, that one little thing I will not give up is the one thing that He demands. And that's it. That makes Him the Lord instead of me. And when we get to that place, that's a lot of religious people can never get there. Because they never get to that place. I mean, they're keeping those laws. They're doing right. They're doing good. They've got everything in order. And how could the Lord ever want that? That's why it takes some wisdom. We got to get past and sort through all of that stuff. And like I said, believe me, I've sorted through it. Whenever I finally surrendered and I started just teaching about what Jesus said, everybody thought I'd... You know, they was proud for a while. You know, oh, he's doing great. But wasn't too long till just doing these things and start, it began to be get waves and cross waves. And, oh, you're just a little goody two-shoes. What do you think you are? You're just trying to work your way to heaven. I wasn't even trying to teach anybody anything. I was just trying to put these things into my life. My mother-in-law and father-in-law said, you married the best you could. What's happened to this idiot? Now he's going around and selling everything and everybody thinks he's gone crazy. This was without all the religious garb that before I even knew anything about all of that. It was just a man's heart surrendered to the Lord. And you know, for 7 years I spent, 7 years I spent in the evangelical circles. Became a preacher in the evangelical circles. That's all I knew. That was what I grew up with, and I just, you know, people had, I would tell them, I said, you know, you got a picture of Jesus back here, and everybody comes and gives their little offering, and then the rest of the week they just go out and they do however they want to. And it doesn't really matter. What would it even take to, you know, get in trouble? And just begin to preach messages about non-resistance and turning the other cheek. And boy, never heard that before. But nobody ever changed. Nobody didn't want it. Anyway, it just got to the place where there were troubles in the church. And they had camp meetings and stuff. And here the... just they'd go up there and the little girls would dress terribly. Immodest, just everything that was wrong. And you'd see in the Bible and throughout all history how that's never been this way. And you say something about it, and the little old ladies, the old wise old ladies that were supposed to, would come up and get all over you because you would dare say anything about how the little girls should dress. They were the ones that gave me the trouble whenever we would talk about this. It was the very women that were supposed to be instructing their mothers and their granddaughters in these precious things that God teaches about, and they would be the ones arguing with me, defending the immodesty and the indecency and the things that were going on. And a verse came to my head that says, what shall the righteous do? Or if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? In other words, there was nothing foundational to build on there. You know, if there's those elderly ladies would have been saying, yes, we just need someone to stand behind us and support us. Man, you could do something with that. But here are the very foundations of what they were supposed to be. There was no foundation to build on. So we began looking other places, found a tract from the Mennonites, and it just laid out what the Bible said about this, and this is neat. I lived within 10 or 15 miles of the Mennonites all of my life. Even spent some time in a hospital with an old Mennonite bishop one time when I was 13 and I broke my arm and he was having a hip replaced. But when someone mentioned Mennonites to me, I didn't think Christian. I just thought they were some people from the land of Minnow somewhere. I didn't know who they were. Didn't mean nothing. Just people who dress funny. That's all it meant to me. And I'd been around them all my life. Found this tract. And it started laying out the things. Hey, they might actually have something. Went to them. Started seeing that, hey, they do. Are keeping these things. They're maintaining these things. You know, I'm not sure that it isn't just pretty superficial, but at least they're keeping them. At least they're doing them. So for 7 years, and that's about how long it was, I spent 7 years with the Mennonites. And loved them. Still love them. Still get along with them. But there's more to just maintaining rules. That's not life. There's whenever you start just putting life in a dead skin, it'll bust. That's what Jesus talked about. You can't put new wine into old grapeskins. You can't sew a new piece of cloth onto an old garment. It'll rip and tear. It just don't fit. Wound up not being belonging there anymore. We began what we're doing here. And we've learned a lot along the way. Whenever I was started reading this book, I sought counsel. I sought wisdom. And I don't know how many men that church leaders that I would go and I would just go visit with them and talk with them about what to do, how to do all of this. Fred Harris was a most, I don't know, concerned, I guess, individual in the area about in the evangelical churches about things going wrong. And I'd go and just sit at his feet and listen. I didn't agree with everything he said, but I learned from him. And I'm thankful for what I learned from him. You've got to be able to listen to somebody and learn. You don't have to agree with them all the time, and that's what happens a lot of times in churches. As soon as you don't listen to somebody, boom, there's the door. You've offended me because you didn't listen to me. And so it gets hard to try to even listen to someone because, you know, to even ask their advice. Because when you ask their advice, if you don't take it, you're just out the door. And that's basically what happened with the Mennonites. I saw them. And I enjoyed them. I learned a lot from them. I appreciate what I've learned. Wasn't time wasted. It was learning, growing, building. But then there was areas they wanted to go that I didn't want to go. There was things that I felt like I needed to do that they wouldn't let me do. And, of course, if you don't listen to counsel, you know, that's the thing about wisdom. It doesn't demand anybody listens to its counsel. It's just there. It's not offended because you don't listen to it. It lets you make your own decision and fall flat on your face. And if we're wise, we get up and go back to where we left off. You know, some people are scared to death to listen to a man. I'm not. I don't have to be afraid to listen to a man. I'm not trying to protect myself. I want to be able to hear other people. I want to be able to, you know, that's how you sort through this thing. You know, tell me a church that's been around very long that doesn't have its own school or its own college or their own Sunday school books or their own little set of rules. You know what that is? That is just making sure you don't ever listen to anybody. But then, that's indoctrination. That's not following the Lord. Doesn't take faith to do that. Jehovah's Witness have all that same pattern. They do the very same thing. All of them do it. I'm not saying that they're all bad. I'm just saying you got to get past all of that. Sometimes you got to say, wait a minute, I want to learn something here. I don't want to just go to this. I want to learn something here. I want to be able to work out my own salvation, fear and trembling. You know, God has given us wisdom. He said here, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You know, sometimes we think wisdom is just some magical thing that God has given us, that I'll just know all the answers. You know, just, well, the next time I have a problem, I've got wisdom. And that problem will come along, light bulb goes off, there's my answer. Look at that, I got wisdom. That's not how wisdom works. Wisdom is God saying, here, children, I've given you parents. Children, young people, I've given you older people. Been through there before. Oh, they don't know nothing. They're just a bunch of dummies. I ask them questions and they say, I don't know, I better think about it a while. And then we go on, we'll make our own decisions. Let me tell you something. The internet shouldn't be your go-to for wisdom. The internet shouldn't be your go-to for answers. You know, if you need to know what the capital of Venezuela is or something, yeah, it's all right to check that out. But if you've got real issues, real life issues, I don't want to listen to those people at all. And anybody that does, pardon the expression, but you're a fool. If whenever you have a problem, your first turn is to that. God has given you brethren, given you older brethren that have been through it. You know, how many times do we call someone? I just think of the Solomon's son, I think it was Absalom. Who was it that asked the counsel of the Rehoboam? Asked the counsel. The people come to him and said, let up a little on our slavery duties. And he went to the old men, and the old men said, let up a little on them. And then he went to his buddies, young men his age, and said, what do you think we ought to do? Make it harder on them. Just go after them. So he took the young men's advice, had a rebellion on his hands. The country that wasn't the same after that, he lost the kingdom. Big part of it. You know, a lot of times we're wanting, and people fall for this. That's why they're smooth salesmen. That's why there's politicians, polished politicians, salesmen. Somebody's got an answer. Got the answer. So everybody just calls this person, because boom, they got the answers. They know what they're talking about. They're smooth talking. They can tell you all about it. Leads right through it. And people fall for it every time. They ask somebody's got a little wisdom, and they say, I don't know right now. Let me think about it just a little bit. We ain't got time for that nonsense. We got to find an answer. So they find somebody that's got an answer. You can learn wisdom like that. But you usually need to wrap your fingers up, because you just got burned. And you do it over and over and over again. You know, sometimes the people that we just heard this morning, that there's this analogy, it was about a different thing, but, you know, wisdom. We don't necessarily, we're not asking them to be our Valentine or our boyfriend or girlfriend. We don't have to love them to learn wisdom from them. We're looking for wisdom. You know, a lot of times we think we gotta really like someone. The analogy was a political thing, you know, that whenever you're seeking a leader, everybody just gotta love him and like him. We're not looking for a Valentine, as it was, or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a best friend, because a lot of times a leader won't be those things. He'll be the one telling you what you need to hear. And it might not be at the touch of your fingertips or rolling off a golden tongue. Real wisdom usually stutters and stammers a few times before they can ever get to seeing the answer. But then it comes clear a lot of times. Hey, there it is right there. And they're already off doing something else. Don't have time to hear anymore now. Anyway, it doesn't hurt us whenever we have a heart that's seeking after God to hear some false doctrine. And I'm not saying go listen to it and go search it all out. You don't have to do that either. But if it comes at you, the only way it's going to hurt you is if you don't have the wisdom to go right through it. It's just like people talk about end times. How do we prepare to be ready for the end times? Be ready today. We don't have to understand all of the things that are going to happen in the book of Revelation to have it all figured out. We have to be faithful today. How am I going to be faithful tomorrow? Look what's coming tomorrow. The only way you can be faithful tomorrow is to be faithful today. The next step in front of you is what you've got to take. It's not the 10,000 step stairway that we worry about. How am I ever going to get to the top? Well, the only way you're going to get to the top, one step at a time. We're walking with God, not taking the express train. We're walking with Him. And He walks one step at a time. If you lack wisdom, God has given it to us. Ask Him for wisdom. And then use the people that God has given you as wise people for some direction if you need it. Ask God for wisdom and then turn to Google. You just well slap God upside the head. Just slapped Him in the face. You know, as you get older, you have things to share. It's pretty difficult whenever, you know, it is difficult for people not to listen to you. Not because, listen to me, I'm the leader, but because you know what path they're headed down, or the decisions they're making down the road, their children, the consequences it'll have with their children for generations. And it just, you see problems and you wish you could just, but kind of hard to make a horse drink. After you get him led to the water, you just can't make him drink. And you got to have wisdom enough just to be able to sit back and say, well, guess they'll have to make their own mistakes. But I'm just telling you, there's people out there that can help you. And you'll know the ones that can't. Don't fall for the one that has the answers all the time. Have wisdom. Anyway. And Lord, add his blessing. I don't know. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Praise the Lord. All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6 o'clock, fellowship meal. Pray for Bridget. But don't know if you even know her or not, but she called this week and just is in a real bad place. Just pray for her. Get several calls a week. People, it's just that it's just hard, you know, what to do, what to say. You know, they're just in a bad place. I just over and over again, you know, just having patience with people. When our minds start attacking us and start eating us alive, you know, some of us don't know what that means hardly, you know, we just barely know, and it's hard to relate. But I mean, that's why a lot of people are on drugs and drunk all the time, because they can't deal with reality. They can't let their mind go, because it's just really difficult talking to somebody that's ready to take their own life just in a few minutes, maybe, because they can't live with their minds attacking them constantly. Well, just pray for wisdom and things like that, and grace. You know, all I could tell her was, whatever these voices are telling you, you down somewhere in your soul just know that Jesus is right there. He's right beside you. Forget about what everything else is saying. God's right there with you. And just find some kind of comfort in that. Anyway, may God add his blessings.